We shall continue the subject of praise, and I think last week we went through what David said about praise and could not nearly cover the subject of praise, even from Psalms. But let me look at the origin of praise, and I don't mean the origin insofar as the book of Genesis or Exodus. But even before the Bible was written, God had ordained praise in heaven. I say before the earth was created. In the angels of God, there was praise. Okay? And there was a certain angel that corrupted himself. He fell from that place that God had ordained him. And in falling, He corrupted everything that he was made. He corrupted the purpose for which he was made, which was praise and worship. And I just want to take you to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to take you to Isaiah, and I also take you to Ezekiel today. But we call him Satan today. The King James at one point calls him Lucifer. That's not the right name. That is a Latin word that means something like son of the morning or morning star or something. I'm not going to call Lucifer I'm not going to call Satan the morning star. He is not the morning star. Amen. But his name originally, if you look in the Hebrew, his name was Heliel. You remember there are three known archangels. I don't know if there's more than that, but we know that there are listed the names of only three. There's Heliel, the angel of praise. There's Gabriel, the archangel of messenger. And there's Michael, which is the we call him the warring angel, and it means like God.
Doesn't Heliel mean light bringer?
Light bringer, perhaps, yes. Heliel, light bringer. But let me read what it says here in the King James Bible. And in it, as I said, it will say his name Lucifer, which is literally day star. Now, the reason I have a problem with that is because Jesus is the day star. But we know that he is the imitator and the counterfeit day star. And even the Word of God says that he will appear as an angel of light and will manage to deceive so many people. My goodness. By the way, let me go back here. How far back? In the 14th chapter of Isaiah. Let's go back to verse 4, I guess. And it says that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. All right. So we know that there was a natural king of Babylon. The original Babylon, the original king of Babylon was Nimrod. And if you look into the writings of the scholars, in particular Hyslop, you find that every possible name and title that you can imagine has descended from this so-called king of Babylon. And it all relates to Satan himself. Okay, Satan is the real king of Babylon. And of course, brethren, you know that the church system of Babylon, which is ruled by a man, is really ruled by Satan. Okay? So, let's go and finish here. It says, take up a proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. Okay? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. That means that God is in charge, and he's going to bring down all these false kingdoms, religions, this type of thing that are contrary to the kingdom of God. Amen? He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. Boy, that's a description of Satan, isn't it? Amen? He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. Now that's a prophetic thing, okay? The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Don't you look forward to that day, brethren? This is a prophetic word now, okay? Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. The cedars of Lebanon saying, "Thou, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us." Nobody's coming to cut us down. Amen? So that those famous redwood trees don't need to worry anymore. After even that rare albino redwood that they're talking about cutting down, don't have to worry anymore. The kingdom of God will protect you. Now, amen, I don't know what we're going to do without wood. I think that trees are still going to be available for us. But this is a spiritual, this is spiritual language. The trees do not have a soul. But, you know, Jesus said, if the children cease to cry out in praise, the stones will praise. Now, we know the stones have no soul. Amen? But all creation praises God. All right, now let's go on. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Amen? Where is Satan going? What's his destiny? Hell. And even hell is, or Sheol, is stirred up. There's a stirring in hell that they know that their prince is coming back to hell. Amen? He's on his way. Yeah, the lake of fire, right. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. What do you think of when you think of the chief ones of the earth?
Status.
Yeah, you can name some names from the last century. You can name Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin and Putin. Well, he's in our century now, but yeah, he was in the old century too. You could probably name a whole lot of our presidents, chief ones, that are going to be joining. You know, somebody said, well, I don't mind going to hell. There's going to be a lot of important people there. You know what? They're not going to give you any comfort at all. They're just going to hate you. They're just going to deride you. There will be no fellowship whatsoever in that place of darkness and torment. Amen? So the chief ones of the earth... it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. My goodness, doesn't pay to be a king, because if this is the place you're going. Anyway, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? So this great prince of darkness, he's going to be losing a lot of power. Now let's look at what happened to him. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Now, here's one of the first hints of his ministry in heaven. He says, thy vials. Okay, what are the vials? It's the harps or the lutes. So these instruments are meant to be instruments of praise. But Satan had these as a spiritual characteristic of him when he was, before he became Satan, when he was still Heliel, okay? Before he fell. He says in verse 12 now, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, and I'm going to say, O Heliel, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God, which of course are the sons of God. Okay. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. Anyway, I think I'll finish at that point. The point I wanted to make here is that there was something of praise in him, all right? Thy vials, the noise of thy vials. Now let me go over to Ezekiel, and we have another witness here. Where are we looking in Ezekiel? In particular, yeah. Ezekiel is even stronger on this. And let me start... let's say verse 12, I guess. 28, Ezekiel 28, 12, okay? Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. So in Isaiah, he was called the king of Babylon. Here he's called the king of Tyrus. It's a spiritual name. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So in his original state, he was a very beautiful creature. He was perfect. His beauty was perfect. I mean, he was very desirable in the way he appeared. Okay? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of the Lord. Now this cannot be the natural king of Tyre. He would never have been in the garden of Eden. This is Satan. Satan was there in the garden. Now, there had to be something very attractive to Eve to carry on a conversation with this creature. I mean, how do you women here, what's your attitude towards snakes? Is it something you would go after? You'd pick them up and pet them and put them in your pocket or anything like that? No. You abhor them, right? Okay. So there had to be something very different. Either that or Eve did not have that thing in her yet at this point. I think this is why women have this disdain of snakes. Yeah, I just cannot understand how people collect them. I was seeing the pictures in the National Geographic about this guy somewhere in Florida. How many snakes does he have? He's got this big old boa that's about 4 inches in diameter crawling all over his neck and everything. It's just so unnatural.
They're a different spirit.
Yeah, and this church that passes him around and down the aisle and everything, and this guy gets... Well, he died finally, didn't he? He got bit and died. Yeah. This is so completely unnatural. They were probably walking, flying, I don't know what they were doing, but they weren't sliding on the ground like they are now. So we have no idea what they looked like, and somehow this thing must have stood upright in some manner, communicated with Eve. He was very brilliant, he was beautiful looking, he must have been iridescent or something, had lots of color or something, looked very attractive. And she said, oh wow, let's see what this fellow has to say. And he communicated with people. So, okay, thou hast been in Eden, verse 13, the garden of the Lord, every precious stone was thy covering. Now, here's a list of the precious stones. I'm going to list them. You don't understand probably what they are, but number one, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Let me just stop here. And gold. Okay. There is a list now of how many? Nine. Nine stones. Now, how many precious stones, by the way, are listed in Revelation? 12. How many did the high priest have? He had 12. So you see, 12 is the completeness. As beautiful as he was not complete. He only had 9. So what was God withholding from him? Does anybody remember the names of the 3 that were missing? One is the bloodstone. One is the Chris. How do you say it? Chrysolite or something like that, which is the Christ stone. And what was the third one? Okay, it's in the pattern. The third stone. Anyway, these three have to do with salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. These missing three stones. He didn't have them. I mean, he had diamonds. But so there was something, as beautiful as he was, as glorious as he was, there still was something that he was incomplete in. Okay? Make that point. There's a description of him. And he says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." All right? Tabrets are what? Again, the tambourine. The tabrets and thy pipes. What are pipes? It's the voice of we could call it like a woodwind or a trumpet or something. It's not the strumming of a string, but it's the movement of air across an instrument that causes music. Now, let me go on. It was prepared for thee in the day that thou wast created. So, in other words, God made him a musician. There was the vials over in Isaiah, which is the stringed instrument. There's the pipe and the tabret, all three kinds of instruments. He was created in this manner. He didn't go around heaven with a harp. He didn't go around with a trumpet. He was this. Whenever he would sing, whenever he would begin to rise up in praise, it was music of heaven that would come forth, and all of heaven would come and join with him. Now, let me read the next verse here. It says, "Thou art the anointed cherub." What does anointed mean? Charismatic. He had a charisma about him. Okay? He was attractive. And especially the praise that would come forth out of him. You know, brethren, when we get into heaven, we're going to have these same pipes that we can sing forth, that comes forth out of our mouth through our vocal cords. And whereas we'll be a spiritual being and not a natural being, we will still be able to praise God with our voice in heaven. Now, it says here that he was the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. So he was a covering cherub. Now, it's a special privilege to be covered over, or to have the privilege of overshadowing others. Now, this was his original place in heaven, and as long as he kept to his original purpose, all went well. But now, he has corrupted everything that he was made in. Let me come back to that in just a minute. It says, "Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Okay? "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Now notice, he is created. God made him. He did not come forth on his own like God did. Okay? "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence." Merchandising is what? What's another word? Trading, wheeling and dealing. He's a dealer. He's a wheeler. He's a make a deal. Let's trade this for that. Okay. And you know what is the corruption of this merchandising today? Well, what kind of unrighteous merchandising is going on that's bringing destruction to people's lives? Well, people are dealing in drugs. Women are merchandising their bodies. They're selling themselves in prostitution. Men are buying. Women are selling. Even ministries are in some kind of merchandising. I just got a little flyer today from a famous ministry. Used to be much more famous. But anyway, they have a little flyer in there of one of the daughters or granddaughters or something. And she's made a tape thing of song. And they're selling it, I don't know, $12 or something like that. It's merchandising. It's what it is. Men have a gift, and they merchandise it. They sell it. And it's after the manner of Satan. This is what has happened to Satan. He's merchandising things, okay? By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. Okay. There's a certain intelligence in Satan, and yet he's stupid. I mean, he's smarter than I am in his cleverness, in his wickedness, and yet he's not smart enough to realize that he can't beat God. How can anybody that knows God, has been with God, be so foolish as to believe that he can win? What a gamble to take. So his wisdom is corrupted by reason of thy brightness, okay? He thought, because I'm so brilliant and bright, therefore I can beat anything. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. A sanctuary is a refuge and a place of safety. What they are is, God was warning him when he saw what was happening to him. God saw and knew what was going on in his mind. And he put stop signs up. And he tried to halt his downward spiral. And what basically happened is, I'll use a term, he just blew right through the stop signs. He just went right through them. He did not slow down. He did not stop. You know, people do that sometimes today. You see somebody going in a wrong direction. You put up a stop sign. You try to stop them. You see that God puts up stop signs. God puts up stop lights. He puts up signals. Red, red, red. Warning, warning. You're going the wrong way. You keep going that way, you're going to be in deep trouble. And people just blow right through them. They don't stop. They don't slow down. And you're going to get in trouble if you don't do that. All right. He says, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy trafficking. There's another word for merchandising. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. I find it interesting that God says he's going to bring a fire out of the midst of him. Okay? Jesus described hell as what? A place where the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. How would you describe a fire of this kind? Let's say anger. Is anger a fire? It's a fire emotion, isn't it? You get all fired up, and this fire, this kind of fire, is going to destroy you. Let's say a certain kind of lust is a fire also. It's a burning thing, and there's no satisfaction to it. It's just going to burn and burn until this creature is totally destroyed. And this is, all those that follow him are going to be in the same state. They're going to have a fire burning in them. Can you imagine the kind of fires that burn in some of these horribly wicked men of the past? Let's say Hitler, in his hatred for Jews, for instance. But he had a lot of other hatreds, too. Stalin in his paranoia. He was, understand, one of the most paranoid people that I've ever heard of. Have you ever read any of the history of these people that were around Stalin? He trusted nobody, even his highest officials. At the least unexpected time, he would suddenly take on one of them and have them murdered. And these people were in total terror. Even the high officials that were closest to him, they were in terror of him. He kept them that way. Can you imagine the kind of fires that's going to burn in the souls of these kind of people in hell? All right, so getting back to the musical part. He says, verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have made thee so. And the tabrets and the pipes and the vials." Satan's prime ministry in heaven before his fall was music. All right, now, according to what we've read, everything that God created of him, he corrupted. Am I right? Nobody's saying amen.
Yes.
I heard one amen. Okay, yes. He corrupted everything. Does it not stand that he would also corrupt music? That he would corrupt praise? And how has he done so? Would he just limit his corruption of praise to rock music? To rock and roll?
No.
To hard rock?
No.
To acid rock?
No.
No?
We got Christian rap music.
Oh yeah, they had that a long time ago.
Country music.
You've got pop music. Country, pop, jazz, yeah. He's going to corrupt everything. Everything that he touches, he's going to corrupt. And he's not going to be satisfied just to have it among the heathen, but he's going to bring it into the church as well. You all know, Satan long ago discovered he could never beat the purity of the pure church. And as Brother Seth used to say, so he joined the church. He joined it. And he's going to corrupt everything in it. He brings he's even corrupted the instruments that he's brought in and the sounds that they make. He's corrupted it all. So, is there anything more we want to say about that? I mean, you understand what I'm saying. That's the downside. Now let's look at the upside, okay? Let's look at the throne of God. Let's go over to Revelation. And we'll finish over here. Let's start in Revelation chapter 5. Okay? Now, I have heard a lot of the music that is considered the in thing in the churches today. I've heard a lot of it. And, you know, so much of it just does not sound like praise to me. I don't know. I hear some of these people that scream during their. I'm even reluctant to call it music, noise. Some of their noise. This thing has invaded every aspect of life. You go into a store, they're playing it. You go into a restaurant to sit down and eat, they're playing it. And it just goes on and on. It's even designed so that you can't even tell what the words are. It's the spirit of this thing that's so attractive to people. I'll never forget. It was the time that Brother Campbell and I went to Russia, and we were in Moscow. The only part of Russia that we went to was Moscow. And this was, what, the 1990s, I think. I don't know when in the 90s. How long ago was the 90s? More than 20, wasn't it? 25, yeah. Let's say 25 years ago. There was a man there that could speak Russian, interpreter for us, and we had to make our final trip to the to the airport, to the Russian airport. So he got out on the street, and he negotiated with a taxi driver a certain price to take us to the airport. And around Russia, there's a big round circle drive. In fact, on the outside of that, there's another circle drive. So we were to take one of these circle drives from somewhere in downtown Moscow out this circle to where the airport was. And this Russian taxi driver, he was as big as a bear. I mean, he was a huge man. I couldn't help but thinking of the Russian bear when we got in the taxi with this guy. And so the deal had already been made, so many rubles or whatever it was to the airport. And we got in this taxi with this fellow, and it was one of those little Russian Lada cars, little tiny car, and the man barely fit in the driver's seat. His head was way up on the top of the thing. And Tom and I are in the back seat, and he has got this music just cranking. I mean, it was going full tilt, just as loud as he could get it. And I thought to myself, they've brought this horrible music to Russia too, and they've got it in the Russian language, because I couldn't understand it. They were singing something, and I had not a clue. And finally, I listened real carefully, and wouldn't you know, it was in English. And the Russian driver could not speak one word of English. But he was cranking this music. And we couldn't get his attention down, turn. We had to listen to this all the way to the airport. And I got out and I thought, what is the appeal of this so-called music when the man cannot discern one word of what is being said? He is partaking of the spirit of it. And that's what is giving him, I hate to use the word life, but energy, some kind of energy he's getting off of this. And I've been since then in a lot of foreign countries among people that cannot speak English, and the Americans have, we can't say blessed, cursed them with all of our music. We have taken this horrible thing all over the world. Who spread it? This is Satan's music. It's Satan's. I don't even want to use the word music. It's noise. Now, let's come to the throne of God in heaven. And I have asked some of these young people. You go into their churches and they're cranking it with their drums and their beat and, you know. And I said to some of them, I said, is this the kind of music that you would expect to find before the throne of God? And they look at you with a blank look like, what are you talking about? Before the throne of God. Of course God would be blessed to have this kind of music. All right, let's look and see what it says about the throne of God. Revelation chapter 5. Well, maybe we should start at verse 4. Let's start at verse 4, or chapter 4. Come to verse 8, okay? I just want to show you a picture of heaven. God's heaven, the throne of God heaven, okay? Verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now this is praise. This is worship. Am I right? This is worship. They're not extolling anything else. They're not extolling their sounds or their drums or anything else. It says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him. Well, what are they giving to Him? Glory and honor and thanks. You know that every music is worshiping something. Did you know that? Every music is worshiping something. Is it worshiping God? That's the point. Now here's the picture of worship of God. Glory and honor and thanks to Him who sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before Him. Now what this means is fall down. They're not crippled. They are going down on their face before Him. 24 elders around the throne of God, all bowing before Him. This is a picture of worship, okay? To Him that sat upon the throne, Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now that's worship, isn't it? Thou, O Lord, art worthy to receive, what are they giving Him again? Glory and honor, power, thanksgiving. That's a description of true worship. Now, if your song says any of these things, it's worship. Now, it can be lighter, it can be praise, it isn't wrong, but this is a picture of worship, okay? For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I think that worship should also acknowledge the supremacy of God, okay? It should go to please, to give pleasure to God. Yes, Rita.
I was going to say, if you said, if you have these words in it, then it's worship.
So these elements.
I can kind of disagree with that because you can take a rap song and put those words in it, and it's not worship.
It's not the right spirit.
The right spirit.
Yeah, yeah. You can put those in a rap song.
Word with the right spirit, the word of the spirit. They agree.
Yes, I heard somebody try to put these in a rap song, and Jesus sort of sang your song, and it just was not the right spirit at all.
Yeah.
The words were there.
Yeah, you have to have both.
You know, sometimes a big rock musician gets saved. It happens. And you know what happens? The big guys, the big religious guys, the big television movers and shakers, they get a hold of this guy and they say, oh, let's not let him go to waste. Let's get him to write songs for us now. And we're gonna make him famous because he has a talent and he can make music. So they take the rock guy. He still has the same beat. He has the same, but now they're gonna change the words. But they haven't changed the spirit of it. All right, chapter 4 of Revelation, or chapter 5 now. Come down to verse 9, okay? It says, and they sung a new song. So you see they're singing there too. In chapter 4 it says, for they said, glory, and here, let me read it again. Anyway, it said that they said, amen. But here it says that they sang. So they're singing as well. So the song is a song of praise. It says they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now this is a song. I've never heard this song. I've never heard anybody put music to this song. But it says that they sang this song in heaven. You know, I believe that there are songs in heaven that we cannot possibly know or sing. Another place it says, and they sung a new song that no man could learn. Sometimes when you have dreams and when you see pictures of spiritual things, I remember there were things that were said to me when I met, when I was in the presence of the Lord, when I was in the hospital with the heart attack. There were things that I heard that I knew what I was hearing at the time. But as soon as I recovered, almost all of it was taken away from me. I was not allowed to remember or to carry them back with me. Amen. And behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. How many is that? Anybody figure that out? 10,000 times 10,000? That's a million, isn't it? I think it's a million. 100 million. 100 million, okay. And thousands and thousands. So it's got to be a pretty big number. If you're going to multiply these other thousands times it, if that's what's implied, this is a pretty big crowd, isn't it? Amen. All right, it'll just be a whole lot of zeros. Yeah, six more zeros at least. Okay, 100 million plus to the sixth power or whatever. I don't know how many. All right, saying with a loud voice. Now, I think they were actually singing too, but it says they were saying with a loud voice. Now, two things about the amplification. First of all, God isn't deaf. We can praise Him quietly. But also, He doesn't mind if we praise Him loudly. You don't have to make a doctrine about it. You don't have to say, well, if you don't get loud, God isn't hearing you. I've heard people say that. I've heard people that believe, you're too quiet, God can't hear you. No, He can hear you if you don't even make a sound. He hears your heart. All right. So the worship and the praise, it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. All of worship focuses on the Father and the Son. All of worship. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, heard, am I reading that right?
Heard I saying.
I saying, okay.
Blessing
and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Sounds like these 24 elders are always falling down and worshiping. Every occasion they get, they're going down on their... I mean, nobody's forcing them to do this. There is something in the people of heaven. Come on, I'm telling you want to go to heaven, this is what it's going to be like. There is something in the people of heaven, every creature, there is something in them that is so full of adoration to God that you just can't help. You just want to go down. There is not enough in you to show gratitude for what He has done to redeem us out of our horrible pit of destruction. This is heaven. This is the absolute contrast of hell. Hell has nothing of worship for God. It worships other things. It worships other kinds of desires and lusts and whatever, beauties, what have you. But no worship for God, the true God. No, let's look at some more. Because, really, you want a picture, you got to find it in Revelation. John had a picture of heaven. Amen? And let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Let me tell you, if Jesus were to appear before any one of you in reality, in His reality, Nobody would have to suggest to you the awesome, awesome presence of His being. You wouldn't be able to help yourself. You would feel a totality of your own unworthiness, your weakness, in such that you wouldn't even want Him to draw near to you. I know that one time that He began to draw near to me, and I said, "Oh, you can't come. I'm unworthy. You're going to burn me up. You're going to destroy me if you come any closer." And yet He wanted to reveal something, and somehow He put something on out there to shield the brightness of His glory so that it didn't overwhelm me so. And then He continued to come on in, and then He revealed. And you know, I think this is sort of the way it was with John. It says, when John saw Him, way back where? In the beginning of let's go back to the beginning for just a minute. The beginning of Revelation, it says He fell on His face like a dead man. And the Lord touched him and raised him up. Daniel, too. Remember Daniel? Daniel was weak. And he went down. And in fact, Daniel said that he was weak for 3 or 4 more days. He had no strength to get up because he had met such a powerful, awesome God. I mean, what is our idea of God? You know, he's not just a big old senile, benevolent grandfather sitting in a big rocking chair, you know, up in heaven somewhere. Oh, as long as all my children are having fun and having a good time, you know. No, that's not God. He's a powerful, terrifying presence. What is it in John here? He said, okay, he met the Lord, and in verse 11 he said, "I am the Alpha and Omega," it's such. And somewhere here it was that John, maybe I missed it here. I'm pretty sure it was that he fell down before the Lord when He began to speak to him. Okay, back to back to chapter 14. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's names written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps." Oh, here it is now. This is the harpers, okay?
In verse 17.
Oh, chapter 1, verse 17. Let me go back there for just a minute and find it. Oh, yes, there it is, plain as day. 1:17. It says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last.'" John would not have been able to move had the Lord not laid His hand on him and said, "Come on, you can get up. I've got things to tell you." Okay. So back to 14 now. He says he heard the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Now, brethren, we are not going to be able to take our harps and our guitars and our pianos to heaven with us. What was going on that he heard harpers harping? Harpers. What is a harper? A harper is one who harps. He heard some. There are some in heaven who are going to have the gift of their voice is going to be a harp. And it's going to be a beautiful sound. You might be a harper. You might be a harper. Rita might be a harper. Harping.
What are the instruments?
Some of us might be the voice of great thunder. A great thunder. Some of us might be the voice of many waters. What's many waters sound like?
That's the body of Christ.
I mean, but it can be pretty loud.
Yeah.
Have any of you been to Niagara Falls? Have any of you been in the tunnel that brings you in behind the falls? Have you been there? Wow! I mean, the power of this thing, the sound of this thing is just overwhelming.
Yes.
And this is just a little thing compared to what God has. But he heard the voice. It says he heard the voice. This is a voice. This is something coming from human beings. The harping sound. You know, we try to do the best we can here on earth with our music, with our voice, try to keep in tune, you know, try to make a beautiful sound. How do I say it? We're going to be perfect in our sound of praise in heaven. You might have been a person that could never carry a tune, but you're going to carry a beautiful praise tune in heaven. Somebody wanted me to talk about heaven a while back. Well, this is heaven. This is heaven. I'm sorry I gave you the bad side, the Satan side first, but I want to give you the good side to leave you with at the end. The voice of... And verse 3, and they sung a song, as it were, a new song, before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now, there's a special song that cannot be learned, cannot be written down, cannot be recorded. Amen. And it is not a song for everybody in heaven. It's a song for the 144,000. Now, the 140,000 is not a natural number. It's a number of fullness. 12 times 12. Amen. 12 is the square root of 144. Amen. So it's perfection. I mean, it's this way, this way, this way. It's complete. The cube is full. Amen. And this is a description of Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's complete. 12 by 12. 12,000, 12,000, 12 gates. You know, everything is complete.
Are you talking literally now?
I'm talking spiritually. No, we can't have the. We can't measure this thing in literal furlongs.
I'm talking. You said about heaven here, with all this going on, it's praising and worshiping God.
It'll be going on.
Is that not literal?
Well, of course it's literal. Heaven is a literal place, but it's a spiritual place too. It's more real than what we have here in our natural.
All right. Last time I talked to you, you didn't sound like you believed it was literal.
We have to understand the term literal. Literal, I mean real. It is real. But it's not made out of natural material.
Yeah.
Gold in heaven...
It's got to be someplace where all this
is. Gold in heaven is not made out of this stuff. It's not made out of this. It's the perfection of God. The nature of God.
I agree.
All right, so let's go on. I got one more to read to you. Did we finish this about the songs? The 144,000, okay? So they had a song that no other man could learn. The 144,000, the first fruits company. There are those in heaven who are not of the first fruits company. But they're there because they are forgiven, they are redeemed by the blood of Christ. But they are not overcomers. They did not overcome in all things. The thief on the cross, what did he overcome? He had no opportunity to overcome any of the things of his life. All he did is he saw the blood. He asked forgiveness. He asked for being included in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, today you'll be in. The man cannot be among the 144,000. There are many other people that are barely saved. They'll be there. Rejoice in God. They're going to be there. Get them saved. You know, get them in. It's a whole lot better than the other alternative. But also, we need to say, come up higher. God wants you up higher. God wants you among the 144,000. All right? Now, final verse, chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. And we come down to verse 20, okay? Now this 18 is the collapse of Babylon. The collapse of Babylon is the collapse of the systems of this earth. It's a collapse of the religious systems, of which the harlot, Rome, is among them, the chief of them. It's a collapse of the economic systems, the banking, the world finance systems. It's a collapse of the political systems of this world, the governments of America, Russia, every political system is going to collapse. God is bringing it down. It says in 1 hour, amen, for in 1 hour, verse 17, so great riches has come to naught. For in 1 hour, consider that, brethren, for in 1 hour, if their riches are coming to naught, so are ours. But God is going to take care of us. Amen? He will see to our needs. Amen? The last of verse 19, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Now, verse 20, rejoice over her. Who's her? The harlot. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets of God, for God hath avenged you on her. All right, we're rejoicing over her. Notice especially heaven, apostles, and prophets. These are the ministries that are hated the most of the harlot, the apostle and the prophet ministry. Okay? And a mighty angel, verse 21, took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. With violence. Do you hear this? She's not coming to an end with a whimper. She's coming to an end with violence. Amen? And verse 22, and the voice of harpers. Amen? The voice of harpers. The sound of harpers. The voice. I like it, the voice. The voice speaks of humans, doesn't it? The singing voice of harpers and musicians. Harpers and musicians. See, there were also musicians and harpers. And pipers. Amen? Which is flutists. Flute players and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. Now this is the old church that is coming down. These things that men have considered to be ministries in Babylon, in that church system, it says these voices will not be heard again in you. So they are in Babylon now, but they're going to come to an end. All right? It says, and no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. The business, the running of business. Okay? And the light of the lamp, it says candle, but it means lamp. The light of the lamp shall shine no more at all in thee. The religious world has light today. They have spiritual, they have some spiritual light. Not a lot, but they have it. God says, I'm taking it all away. It's all going to come to an end. Every bit of life that you're getting from that is going to end.
Candle may be correct, yeah.
Well, it's in the margin it says lamp.
Well, candle speaks of a flickering.
Yeah, well, it's a flickering lamp anyway. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in these. So in other words, the voice of Jesus is going to come to an end in that system. And the bride will also not be found in her anymore. She's going to be removed. And thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. And let's just do the first of verse 19. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. So heaven is rejoicing, heaven is agreeing with these destructive things that are going to happen to the world systems and the world churches as well. They're coming to an end. Suddenly, in 1 hour, they're coming down. Now, I don't know what God's meaning of an hour is, but when an angel takes a great millstone and throws it into the sea, and it hits with a resounding crash, that sounds pretty sudden to me. Amen. Well, okay, God bless. A little teaching on praise, worship, thanksgiving. And thank you for your attention.